Okay, I have a question for you. What is love? Or if I was to ask you to explain what love is, what would you say? Well, I had to look at, I asked my friend Google, and Google described love like this: a willingness to prioritise another's well-being or happiness above your own, or extreme feelings of attachment, affection and need, or dramatic, sudden feelings of attraction and respect, or a fleeting emotion of care, affection and like. Google also stated that there are four types of love, which are storage, empathy love, philia, friend love, eros, romantic love, or agape, unconditional God love. Well, that's great from Google, but let's have a look at what the Bible says about love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. So, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love is not boastful, love is not proud, love is not rude, love is not demanding its own way, love is not irritable, love keeps no record of being wronged, love does not rejoice about injustices, love rejoices when truth wins out, love never gives up, love never loses faith, love is always hopeful, love endures through every circumstance. The Bible gives us the best definition of love. It gives us a full description of love. And the Bible shows what love is and what love isn't. And in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul goes on to say that love will last forever, even when everything else comes to an end. In fact, Paul actually closes out this chapter by saying three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. God is love. When the kingdom of God comes in its fullness and everything else stops, faith, hope, and love will remain. And 1 John it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. So Paul's description of love, 1 Corinthians 13, actually describes the character of Jesus. Jesus will last forever. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Therefore, his love will last forever. And more than that, his love will last forever in us and through us. So, love is important. We all want to be loved, right? And we all want to hear those words, "I love you," or "you are so loved." We long to be loved, and we long to be loved well. So, my next question: what does it look like to be loved well? Well, there are lots of wonderful stories in the Bible of how Jesus beautifully demonstrates how to love people well. For example, in John 2 it says, the wedding celebrations in the village of Cana in Galilee, where Jesus' mother was there, and the disciples and Jesus were all invited to the celebration. And then we know the story, right? The wine ran out during the festivities. And Jesus' mom went to him and said, look, there's no more wine. And Jesus replied, "What? That's not my problem. What do you want me to do? My time has not come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And do you know there were 6 water jars standing by that was used for a Jewish ceremonial cleansing, and each would hold about 20 to 30 gallons of water. So Jesus told the servants, fill those jars with water. And when the jars were filled up, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. And then when everyone has a lot to drink, he brings out the least expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. Wow, such honour. See, this miraculous sign in Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. You've got to remember, in that culture, it was really shameful if they ran out of wine for the guests. It was like one of the worst things to do, because people would remember about it and there would just be shame and disgrace. We'd be attached to that young couple as they set out their married life for all their lives. That's all they would be always known for. And Jesus' mother knew that that Jesus was the Messiah, and she's always been watching and waiting for his time to come. So Mary knew that Jesus could do something about this situation. That's why she went to him, because she believed in him. And that is also why she said to the servants, do whatever he says. But even though it was not Jesus' time to reveal himself, he didn't want that couple to have to live with that stigma that they would have to go through all their married life. So Jesus decided that this would be his first miracle by turning water into wine and saving the day. But not only that, he told the servants to fill up the jars. And in some translations in the Bible, it says, fill up to the brim. You see, Jesus was being outrageously generous. Then after this wedding, Jesus returned to Galilee. But rather than taking the direct route, he decided to take the scenic route by walking along the long road back to Galilee. And this road would take them through Samaria. And in Samaria, he would meet a woman, and she would have an encounter with the living God who would transform her life. And as Jesus was traveling through Samaria, he stopped at a well on the edge of a village to take a rest and have a drink. And even though Jesus was tired and thirsty, because of his love, Jesus took time to talk to the woman and completely transformed her life. Go and have a look. Oh, what about the story in Matthew 9, where Jesus was teaching his disciples and a man called Jairus came and interrupted Jesus to tell him that his daughter had just died and would he come and lay hands on her so she would live? Do you know, Jesus just got up, followed Jairus to his home, no fuss. He wasn't annoyed that he was interrupted. He just got up and he went. And even on the way to Jairus' house, he was interrupted again. This time it was a woman with an issue of blood who touched Jesus' cloak. See, Jesus was loving these people so well. He loved without complaint or moaning, like some of us might do if our plans were interrupted. Or maybe that's just me. Instead, Jesus was kind and compassionate and loving to the woman, and then went on and healed Jairus' daughter. And even then, when Jesus was leaving Jairus' house, 2 blind men were following, and so they stopped. So Jesus stopped and healed them. For you and I to love Jesus is a high goal. Like, to be interrupted all that time with no complaints, he just met people where they were and healed them. So I would encourage you, let everything you do be motivated by love. Love never stops believing the best for others. Love never gives up. Love, God never gives up, and neither should we. Jesus was kind and gentle and patient. He was never jealous and he was not intimidated. In Galatians, we see that the fruit of the Spirit is actually the character of Jesus. And the character of Jesus is love. We know this because the definition of love in Corinthians uses the same language that describes the fruit of the Spirit. And they both describe Jesus. To love well, we need to be more and more like Jesus. And it's this love that motivated me to sign up to Causeway Coast Vineyard's Encounter School of Mission. For the past 9 months, Shanna and I have gone into the streets of Falkirk to pray with people, to hear their stories and to introduce them to the love of Jesus. So I wanted to demonstrate the love of Jesus to everyone I met. I wanted to pray with them, I wanted to hear their stories, and I wanted to demonstrate God's love to them. And it was such an honour to do that, to pray with people and to hear their stories. Sometimes we would go out and give things away just to demonstrate how much God loves them and God sees them. And then we would maybe try and hear from God and give them prophetic words. Now, I did not find any of this easy and natural. You'd have to ask Shanna how she felt about that. It was hard and it was really difficult at times, but we kept going out every Saturday between 10 and 3. Not because we wanted to look good, but because we were trying to love the town of Falkirk like Jesus. Even when it was cold and wet and no one wanted to speak to us or let us pray for them, we still turned up the following week. And then we started to see some breakthrough. But I can honestly say it never got any easier. But we still went. Love was what compelled us to go. And then I just decided one day, I've got my plans, I know what I'm going to do, but I started to just say, Holy Spirit, interrupt my plans, mess things up, and I'll just learn to go with the flow. And he took me literally at my word. It wasn't neat and it wasn't always nice and comfortable. Sometimes it was messy and I'd end up being late for some appointments. And there was one day I felt God prompt me to take some flowers to someone. Someone's name and face came into my mind. Now, I don't really know this person. I didn't know her name. I have since learnt her name. But I've seen her in the past and I maybe would say morning. But I decided just to go with the promptings of the Holy Spirit and turn up her door with some flowers. And now, of course, I had to battle even walking up and thinking, oh, what if she doesn't want to take the flowers? What if she's a bit anxious? Because obviously we've got the COVID restrictions. I forgot to take a mask. So it's all these things. Like, maybe I should just turn back. And I thought, no, I really believe this is what God is saying. I'm going to see what happens. So with fear and trepidation almost, I knocked at her door and just said, hi, I was thinking about you and I thought I would just give you some flowers. And then she invited me in because we could at that time. And then she just shared her story with me and it was just amazing that she just was open and I just got to hear. It was such an honour just in that moment just to listen to her story. And then at the end I said, look, I'm a Christian, I believe in prayer. Is there anything I can pray with you for? And then she did. She shared what she'd like prayer for. And I said, well, can I just pray for you right now? And she said, yes. How easy was that? When you go and when God is prompting you, how easy was that? And it was great. And she said, you know, you have just made my day. So that was really nothing on my part other than giving her my time and going with, I feel God was prompting me. But it was such a big blessing for her too. And you know what? She's invited me back. So couldn't have been that bad. And then this was all happening all the same week. There was another, I was going to get my nails done, because you know I like to get my nails done. And I was just asking God to What would you, how do you want to show love to this person that does my nails? And he said, gave him the thing about sense of smell. I thought, oh, that's a bit strange. But okay, I'll go with it, see what happens. I'm getting to the stage where I'm thinking, I'll be ridiculous for Jesus. I'll make a fool, I'll be a fool for Jesus. John Wimber says, I'm a fool for Christ, whose fool are you? So I'm going for that. So we're getting my nails done, how are you? And I said, oh, do you know, I was just praying for you before I came in. I just got something about a sense of smell. Have you got an issue with a sense of smell? Or have you smelt something unusual recently? I don't know. And she said, actually, I've not been able to smell for such a long time. So I got to pray with her. I said, well, God, I think God is going to unblock that, and you're going to smell the aroma of God. And she was like amazed at that. So I'll let you know how that goes, if there's any improvement. There was nothing in that moment, but I believe God's going to do a work there. And then another one, I was going up to see someone. And I was just praying for a while. Actually, the story starts off before that. I had this thing about someone from way back. I haven't spoken to her for a long time, and I thought I would just give her a text. And the day that I didn't know this, but it transpires. The day that I text her was the day that she decided to start a new business. And this new business she was starting, I was asking if she was open. And she said, well, come along. So when I turned up, she said, I said, well, I was praying for her, and I said, I was praying for, I'm a Christian, I believe God speaks today, and I got the word restoration. I feel God's going to restore things that's maybe been lost or taken, but God's going to bring restoration. And by the look on this girl's face, I knew that I'd landed, because her eyes were about to pop out behind her mask. And then she said, are you psychic? I said, no, but I do believe God speaks, and I do believe we hear from God, and I was just praying for you. And she said, because the day that you text me to ask me about my business was the day that I signed the deal to say I'm starting back. How amazing is that? And then I come in with the restoration, and then she said, is this the thing you teach in your church? I said, absolutely. And so I'm praying for you, and I prayed, just give her a wee prayer, and then she said, can I pray like that? I said, absolutely, you could pray like that. God loves you, and then got to just speak some truth into her life. And she said, oh, when you can't wait till you come back, well, putting an appointment in, so I'll be back there too. Do you know, I just tell you these stories just in encouragement. They're not like big, amazing, life-shattering stories, but they're just small steps of introducing people to Jesus. And that's just a mass sphere of influence. And encouragement is to you to do it in your sphere of encouragement, wherever you are. Do you know, over the past few months, we have spoken a lot, haven't we, about our identity. And it's when we know who we are in God and we live from there, we can go in confidence knowing who we are and what we carry. We can go in boldness. So all these stories I've shared with you today happen because I want to love my time. I want to see transformation come to Falkirk. I long to see the cycles of addictions broken in people's lives. I long to see cancer diagnosis reduced or gone completely. I want to see families restored together, restoration. I want to see in my lifetime, Falkirk restored to its original God design. I want to see people restored to their original God design. I want to see the people of Falkirk flourish and thrive. I want to see businesses in Falkirk flourish and thrive. Do you know, we are commanded to love one another as Jesus does. There is not one person Jesus does not love. And there is not one person that he did not come to save. That means everyone we lock eyes with, everyone we walk past in the street, everyone we hear about in the news, our next door neighbours, the person behind you or in front of you in the supermarket, the person next to you in the waiting room, when we actively love those around us, putting their needs before our own, we are taking the same amazing love that Jesus has poured out to us and becoming a living, breathing, beautiful display for humanity. You see, while many believers love is just a nice, no, not believers, while many people believe love is just a nice, heartwarming feeling, but for us Christians, followers of Jesus, we are called for more of that, more than that. We are called to take action. We can share God's love by noticing the unnoticed, loving the unlovely, by extending grace to those who are not necessarily easy to be around. When we look at how to love others, God's word offers plenty of insight. Romans gives a great example of love in action, and from the Message says this: love from the centre of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who deeply love. Practice playing second fiddle. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. And don't be great somebodies. Let's make it our prayer today to ask God to help us actively love others, to actively walk across the street to help our neighbours, to actively cook a warm meal for a friend in need, to actively visit a nearby nursing home to love on the elderly. Let us ask God to lead us to places where He wants us to shine His light. Let us ask God for the courage and strength to share His love with all who surround us in our daily lives. And maybe when we do this, we will guide people to His beauty, and they too will begin to actively love others. And then, who knows how many lives will be impacted.